This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
All right, everybody, what's up? Welcome in a late week edition, Hardwood Handicappers. You know the deal. Kelly Bidlin is alongside, so I'm going to take people behind the scenes, as Kelly can see me because we're on Skype, and doing this differently. Because I'm going to let people in on a secret here, Kelly. I'm not a rich man. And so you got to make things work sometimes, all right? And while I love the way that I live, I have a very nice apartment. It's only 3 bedrooms. And so my office, where I record often, also has a massive crib in it for my youngest child. It's his bedroom. Mm. So I got home late today. It's bedtime, okay? So I can't use the normal setup. So I'm using a Bluetooth headset and whatnot. But I got to tell you, this feels very Ricky Bobby-esque. I honestly don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I feel like there's no microphone in front of me. Like, it's such a weird dynamic hosting like this. The second weirdest I have recorded a podcast, I'm gonna cop to this. People may have listened to that episode. In November, I put out a really terrible episode of Hardwood Handicappers because should I admit this? I'm going to admit it. My bosses don't listen to this. They're shocked that they listen to this. I was in New York. If you remember, I was at my trip. Mm-hmm. And I had a little bit of a late night. So at like 2 a.m. New York time, I was like, oh, bleep, I've got to record a podcast. So somewhat half inebriated, I threw on a headset and was in my hotel room just riffing about some NBA and sent it in, baby. I'm a pro. So this is the weirdest time.
You're going to be okay here at VSiN. Yeah, I think you're going to be okay. Pretty sure I've seen cocktails consumed on air before, in front of a live audience. So yeah, I think you're okay, JVT. I think you're okay. Way to battle through the adversity.
Do it for the people. I do it for the people.
You're MacGyvering the crap out of this podcast.
It's what I do. All right. We now after that confession, we begin every single show with some headlines. So let's do it.
Hardwood headlines.
All right. First up, we did get news a couple of weeks ago. You know what? This threw me off. So I don't know if you've noticed ESPN. I don't know if this is cheating or whatever, but you know how like in Google, so behind the scenes, we have our digital meeting. So I'm learning a lot about SEO or search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has stuck out to me is, you know, when you Google stuff, you get like the top stories, the news. So I Googled for putting our rundown together, Zion Williamson. And, the Zion Williamson story pops up. He's going to be out at least 2 more weeks with this hamstring injury. But ESPN's been doing this thing. I don't know if they're on the back end of their website, they use old things. But when you Google this story and it pops up, it says it was posted 3 weeks ago. But the news came up 2 days ago. So it really threw me off because I was going to include this in the rundown. I was like, am I this far behind? There's no way. So
That happened to me like a week ago with another story. I know exactly what you're talking. It was the first time I had ever seen it. Where it said it was from a week before, and I was like, no, this is breaking news today. Like, what are you talking about?
Glitch in the matrix. Regardless, yeah. Zion Williamson out at least 2 more weeks with a hamstring injury. So wanted to bring this up because, one, obviously Williamson is very important to what the New Orleans Pelicans have been doing. I'm going to go out on a limb, say he's pretty important. Brandon Ingram has been slowly working his way back here for New Orleans. But the problem is that this has been a team that the roster has greatly worn off, Kelly. Right in that stretch, I think about the 3-10 in the 13 games since losing Zion Williamson. It really hasn't gotten that much better for them. They have lost, what, 6 straight games. They've covered one of them. So, like many teams, and it makes this season really weird, they are one of many teams who has been held back by injury and by health. The Clippers, the Suns, the Pelicans, we can go through all of them. All of them have missed a lot of games with some of their key personnel, and it makes it hard to evaluate them as a whole. But when they were whole, they were the one seed in the Western Conference at one point. So 2 more weeks for Zion Williamson, it seems. It's always been the worry here. But I do wonder, I wanted to bring this up, one, because that's important. But two, do you view New Orleans as this team as, hey, suffering through attrition, wait for the odds to continue to balloon here, and let's come in and buy low on a Pelicans team that, when they were fully healthy, looked like they could be the best team in the Western Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. I am completely in that camp. I grabbed them at 13-1 earlier in the season to win the West. I don't think that any of my Western if I'm betting futures in the Western Conference, I think it's only going to be as far as to win the Western Conference. That's as far as I'll go. Cause I do think that, the beasts are out East. But yeah, man, I'm not afraid at all to add to that Pelicans number. I do think that they are one of the, we've talked about it a bunch. The West is pretty wide open to me, but they are one of, I'm going to say one of 4 teams that I guess I believe can really win the West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm not afraid to, like, I got 13-1 already on that, but I'm not afraid at all to continue to add to that number. If that number, or add to that bet, if that number continues to slide here, I'm seeing plus 950 right now, over at DraftKings. But yeah, getting Ingram back, let's see how they do here in the near future. But if they're playing around 500 basketball or something, but before Zion gets back, I'll absolutely add more of them.
Yeah. So Circa also has, like, the best price I've seen is 10-1 on the Pelicans to win the Western Conference. To your point, make a run to the West Conference Finals, and we'll see what happens from there. And the West as a whole is not entirely too strong. Brandon Ingram came back, as I mentioned, the other night against the Timberwolves. 26 minutes, 13 points, 4 of 18 from the floor. It looked like a guy who hadn't played in over a month.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, 4 for 18, right? Like, they clearly wanted to get him shots, and he's rusty. Yeah, that was his first game back, right?
Yes, it was.
Yep. I feel like we've been waiting on it for like a month and a half now.
And that was the worry. And to your point, this is why you hold out hope. CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Zion Williamson, Jonas Valanciunas, their best lineup, plus 10.1 points per 100 possessions, an offensive rating of 120.7. Overall, when Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson are on the floor together this season, they have outscored opponents by 17.3 points per 100 possessions. That's a 17.3 net rating. That's incredible. Yeah. With an offensive rating of 124.1. And shockingly enough, I don't, this is a small sample size, so I think this gets worse, but a 106.9 defensive rating. That's elite. That's an incredible defensive rating for that team. So it's the case of
that was the surprise of the season was their defense, right? I mean, how good a defense they were playing. We saw that out of Herb Jones and how amazing, perimeter defense he played last year for this team. But the team defense stepping up as a whole, that's incredible. And when you talk about the Western Conference landscape, it's just, man, they got a lot of firepower. They're deep. They got these young players that can show up every night depending on what's going on in the game. I mean, man, there's a lot of pieces on that team I really, really like. And if it's not this year, JVT, I mean, the next couple of years, this Pelicans team is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the West.
Yep. And it goes to a point that I've kind of been harping on with some of these teams, right? Like, I keep getting asked about the Lakers, right? Like, hey, what do you think about the Lakers? Anthony Davis coming back, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like I'm actually haven't been asked about the Lakers as much this year. I feel like we're like kind of all past that, but
it's the last couple of days
past LeBron.
Right. I mean, look, I love my VEASAN brethren. Last couple of days, because Anthony Davis is coming back and the Rui Hachimura thing. And so it's been like, hey, what do we do? But the thing I keep
Rui Hachimura, by the way, like, is that not like one of the most boring trades you could like lead off like the trading season with? It's like, right. Oh yeah, for Kendrick Nunn, like, cool.
Both
of those guys extremely boring. although fun fact for people that people will definitely forget this. You always got to remember that Kendrick Nunn finished higher in Rookie of the Year voting than Zion Williamson. That's one of my favorite all-time stats ever.
Like, nerdy basketball talk. Like, the deal is great because he shipped off some second-round picks and Kendrick Nunn for a former ninth overall pick. Like, it's cool, right? And the Lakers, something we never talk about, they have a strong track record of developing young talent. And so their scouting department's done a really good job there. Like, I like that. But, like, big picture, like, you're kind of looking around like, okay, whatever. But my overall point was, because I'm tying this back to the Pelicans, you know, people keep asking me about the Lakers, and I'm like, there's nothing you can really hang your hat on, right? For the Pelicans, you can hang your hat on a plus 17.3 net rating with our two best players on the floor when we're fully healthy. For the Clippers, you can hang your hat on a net rating of nearly 10 when you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the floor. You know, that's the thing. So to your point about, like, why would I want to invest in this team right now? That's what you're hanging your hat on. That even though it's a small sample size, from what you've seen when this team is whole, has been elite with a capital E, and that in a Western Conference that is, you know, mid, to use a term that the kids would use, it is wide open for a team like that to make a run to the Western Conference. So you need to be healthy, though. So to a couple more weeks, and we'll see if Zion Williamson makes his way back. Other headlines here, and this ties into the
Western. Put you on the spot real quick. Western Conference, most likely to win the Western Conference, in your opinion, regardless of odds, regardless of, you know, current injury status, give me your top four teams most likely to win the Western Conference.
Okay. Denver, you want them in order, I assume?
Not even in order. I don't even care about an order.
Okay. So then I would go Denver, Memphis, Clippers, Warriors.
Okay. See, I got Pelicans in there. I would have Pelicans in there. So it would be Pelicans for me, Warriors, Nuggets. I think I'll leave out the Grizzlies, Clippers. I'm okay. And if I got to go to three, it's Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans. Like, the Warriors are my fourth team.
What worries me is, like I said, I don't think the defense is real. And I think when they meet up with teams like the Clippers, who've got, like, big wings, who could just go at each one of these dudes, like, that's where you start to get exploited in best of seven series, if you're like a team like the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, the one thing I love about both those teams, though, that really the rest of the Western Conference doesn't have, is that you have – okay, the star power, obviously more legitimate on the Clippers, right? I mean, you're talking about guys that have been around a while. I mean, multiple time All-Stars, that sort of thing. But both of these teams are incredibly deep with talent. You know what I mean? I mean, you can go 8-9 deep and be great the entire game. I don't really know that there's another team in the Western Conference I feel that way about.
Yeah, that's fair. The West is weird, man. The West is, I mean, hell, I don't even think you feel super, like, confident about the Nuggets. It's just that Jokic is awesome.
Exactly. I mean, if anything happens to Nikola Jokic, like, okay, that team has no shot.
Yeah, their bench is terrible.
Like, despite all this, just, like, I'm looking at the odds right now. How the hell do the Suns still have shorter odds to win the Western Conference than the Pelicans?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's a liability thing. I mean, I was making the case last week. When I was making the case last week, once they're healthy, do you start to see that? And we talked with Matt Meiselman, who joined us on the early week podcast, and he said that was going to be an undervalued team. By the way, Suns are up 28-22 on the Mavericks. We're recording this on Thursday night. And, I laid the wood with the Clippers, so we'll see if that comes home. That's 12 and a half. That doesn't start.
12 and a half? That's what you laid?
I'm going to get sidetracked. We'll talk about the Clippers, and it'll tie into there. All right, so two other bits of injury news really quickly. Steven Adams out several weeks with a PCL sprain. That's big. He is a massive force on the offensive glass for that team. Is a team that, as we know now, is it now five or four straight losses for them? They're on this road trip right now. They lose at the gun last night to Jordan Poole and the Golden State Warriors. Did you see Curry get ejected, by the way?
Yeah, four straight losses for them now.
Four straight losses.
Three ejections in Steph Curry's career, all three from throwing a mouthpiece.
Is that really? I know two of them were. Really, it's all three?
That's all awesome. Three. All three of his ejections are from throwing a mouthpiece.
Did you see Jordan Poole's reaction after the game?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
It was a good one. So
I gotta say, like, it's the I get a little annoyed by this Warriors team now of, like, the, like, this ego they have, right, where it's like every call that goes against them they're complaining about, and it's more than just Draymond, right? It's like everybody's turned into mini Draymonds out there, except for Jordan Poole to a degree. So I'm not the biggest Jordan Poole guy. I have no reason to root for the guy, like, individually. you know, at all. But seemingly, I always end up rooting for him every game I watch because I'm like, I see Clay, Steph, Draymond all complaining about stuff. And it's like Jordan Poole's out there just trying to do his job and score. And like most of the time, I'm like, will you pass it to this guy and actually let him shoot more? Like you got, like some of you guys are getting to over the hill status here.
My my favorite thing said about Jordan Poole is that he plays basketball like there's a bunch of hot chicks watching, right? Like
exactly,
there's baddies on the sideline. He's just trying way too hard to just really impress, which is it's a great way to describe Jordan Poole's basketball
game. It really is.
So Steven Adams out several weeks, PCL sprain, and Bobby Portis out for the foreseeable future with an MCL injury. I think of the two, these are obviously both pretty impactful. Yeah. I wanted to tie Bobby Portis, though, into the sixth man of the year race because Portis, I don't care what anybody says, Portis was a contender. And it has been thrown out there like since his injury to multiple outlets have labeled him as sixth man of the year contender, Bobby Portis, which is true. You're averaging a double-double off the bench for a team that has been injury-riddled. You have done a great job in helping keep this team afloat, which has not been very good. You've been one of the bright spots for an inconsistent Milwaukee Bucks team. It's a pretty big loss, career high, 14.4 points or near career high on 49.9% shooting. An actual career high on 10.1 rebounds per game in 14 starts and 47 total appearances. He was awesome. And we'll see how long this is going to be because it's pretty vague in terms of his timeline. But this is a loss not only for the Bucks, but what I wanted to tie it into was it's a blow for a really weird and dumb six man of the year race that has kind of been watered down to a certain extent. Yeah. But I tweeted at you. I texted you. Our guy's going to win. I'm calling it right now. our guys, he's going to win. He's going to win sixth man of the year.
I mean, I'm with you right now. So here's the breakdown. Because I actually was typing this stuff out earlier today. Here's the breakdown if you want to look. Okay, we'll go through the odds board real quick. Right now, it is – actually, you took the screenshot of this. Russell Westbrook, so before tonight, Westbrook minus 150, Brogdon plus 220, Norm Powell 8-1, Tyrese Maxey 10-1, Mathurin 20-1, Jordan Poole 25-1, okay? I broke out just the basic stats for the top four, okay? Because I do find this interesting. Westbrook, 15.8 points per game, 7.5 assists, 6.3 rebounds per game, okay? The 15.8 points per game is the lowest of his career since his rookie year. I think that's going to grab some voters' attention, despite the fact that he may or may not be coming off the bench. Malcolm Brogdon, 14.3 points per game, 3.7 assists, 4.3 rebounds, shooting 45% from three. Okay, nice. Norman Powell, here we go, taking up 16.5 points per game, so leading scorer amongst those three guys. Only 1.7 assists, only three rebounds. Doesn't do that all that well. We know that stuff. 43% from three, though. Tyrese Maxey up next. This is where it gets interesting to me, John. 21.3 points per game, 2.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists. So he's scoring well above those other three guys, but he's only played in 28 games. So how much is that going to factor in?
Is that filtered, though, for Maxey coming off the bench?
No. This is just straight up up season stats.
We'll take our break here. When we come back, you wanted to hit on another awards market, which we'll hit on as well. We're also going to talk. I wanted to bring up two teams, but specifically one, because I think this is the time. I think this is the time where the wings unfurl, they start to stretch, and you start to see what the Los Angeles Clippers are actually going to become. And I will tell you why on the other side.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their NBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
All right, back here on Hardwood Handicappers, recording in stress. I think we're dealing with adversity right now, but we're fighting through. We're battling
through. Fighting through it. Fighting through it.
Yeah. I'm recording on my wife's Sailor Moon desk. There's a lot of Sailor Moon memorabilia around me that you cannot see.
That's great.
So
stop lying to the audience. You know it's yours. Come on.
It is. It's very true.
You're a big time collector.
I am an anime fan. Sailor Moon, not so much. All right. So the Los Angeles Clippers. So I posed a question to you in our rundown. Did you notice what I wanted you to notice when you looked at the schedule for the Clippers that I sent you, that chunk of the schedule?
No, I didn't exactly, except what we got a bunch of road games coming up. I mean, just if you're talking about it being very difficult, they do have the fourth hardest remaining schedule of the entire NBA.
They do. But I'm going to direct your eyes. So January 28th and 29th, right? Back to back against Atlanta and Cleveland. Find me the next back to back for the Los Angeles Clippers in this stretch that I have sent over to you.
March 2nd and 3rd, right at the bottom.
Yep. So there's an all-star break in there, but this is your time, right? The schedule is difficult, but this is the time now. You are coming into tonight against the Spurs. This is going to be the fourth or fifth straight game where you've had both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard play together, right? You only have one back-to-back from now until March 2nd and 3rd. If you are going to build some continuity, if you're going to start to gel, if you're going to figure out what's going on with your offense, now's the time to do it. Right?
Yeah,
because it might be a difficult schedule, but there is no excuse for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to not play games now going forward.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. So I haven't bet a future on them to win the West yet. And I was kind of waiting for like a break in the schedule a bit. And maybe that's exactly what you're talking about right now. Cause you're right. The lack of back-to-backs, regardless of the difficulty, the lack of back-to-backs and the fact that they're going to be playing more games than not, that's a huge boost. It's a huge boost. Maybe it is now. Now is the time to bet them if you're interested in betting them like I am. I know you've got tickets in pocket, I'm sure, 17 times already.
Three different ones, up to 12 to 1. But still, that is neither here nor there. Well, and I tweeted this out the other day, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Like that whole game, really. But that first half against the Lakers, like I tweeted out, I'm like, that's the half that keeps me going back, right? Yeah. They win in that game, and the Lakers are a lowly opponent, sure. But when you watch that, they were clearly the best team. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were freaking awesome. The Lakers didn't have any answer for Kawhi Leonard. They were hitting threes all over the place. They were phenomenal in that game. And like you see these little glimpses here and there when they finally get those guys on the floor together. That's why I cannot quit them, because when they play, when they're peaking, they look freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you, and I think they're right there. That's been the sell on them this whole time, right? They should be a title contender. There's really not any excuse for them not to be a title contender. Does the defense concern you at all?
No,
because it has not been great recently.
It hasn't been great recently, and even in that game, like, they had a 122 defensive rating. I think a lot of that had to do with LeBron James more than anything. LeBron almost had 50 points, and they pulled him. With like 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And like, there's been some slippage. There was the Spurs game, right, that everybody was pointing to that was pretty bad for them. But that was, I think, what, their second game with both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the floor together. But like, I keep going back to, like, I use that analogy is like, what do you want to hang your hat on? What positives are you desperately clinging to if you're looking at these teams and saying, this is what we have? When they're both on the floor together, their defensive rating is 111. Like, that's a pretty good defensive rating, and that's only going to get better. And their most used lineup with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, defensive rating of 109. So it's even better in that regard. So I wouldn't be too worried about it. You just wonder, I think one of the issues, so one of the hardcore things is that Terrence Mann's been playing point guard now.
Yeah.
And in the lineup with Terrence Mann at point guard as opposed to Reggie Jackson, that's when their defense suffers. 127.6 defensive rating compared to 109.1 when Reggie Jackson is playing point guard. And I think that's kind of been the change that they're getting used to. Man's not like a terrible, right? You know, man's not a terrible defender, but he's more of like, you know, a good team defender. But being a point guard, you're at the point of attack more in a lot of these pick and roll actions. And I think that's where you've seen a little bit of the difference defensively. And I think they're working that out.
I'm assuming they've seen a boost in offense then with him on the court, which I guess surprises me because Reggie, obviously more known as a scorer. But you know, if you're using Mann as more a facilitator with all those other pieces around, then yeah, maybe that is working out.
To your point, offensive rating with Reggie Jackson at point guard and both Paul Lord. Wow. I can't do it. I'll call him that. Paul George.
Lord of the Pauls.
That'd be the lamest name to be the Lord of, right?
Like, it really would. Yeah, Lord of the Pauls.
So Reggie Jackson, the net rating's better, but it's because their defense is better. Reggie Jackson at point in these lineups that I'm talking about, 109.1 compared to the 127.6 for Terrence Mann. However, the offensive rating with Terrence Mann at point, 128.4 compared to 113.7 for Reggie Jackson. Yeah.
Wow, I'm shocked that's that big of a difference. Okay, yeah, all right.
It's interesting. And look, it's a small sample size, right? We're talking about just over, according to Cleaning the Glass, just over 100 possessions with Terrence Mann, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, and Ivica Zubac, right? Compared to 328 possessions for Jackson with those four others. So we'll see. But I think they're just working out some kinks with a new point guard, and, you know, that leads to maybe some different defensive communication that they're working on, you know?
Yeah, plus 550 right now, DraftKings to win the West. Might be time for me to pull the trigger. I'm sure I could shop around and find 6-1 or better than that. Might be time for me to pull the trigger. I'll tell you, JVT, like, I haven't messed around with these futures markets at all. I did nothing with preseason in the West. I'm trying to make sure I'm not lying about anything. Yeah, I did nothing preseason in the West. So I added the Pelicans. I think that was in December, like late December, at 13-1. I think I'm fine. If I can find Clippers 6-1 or better than that, I'm loving rolling into theoretically into the playoffs with that kind of number on the Clippers and that kind of number on the Pelicans. I think those are two damn good teams.
I've got the 76ers at 23-1 or 24-1 to win the NBA Finals, and I've got, I think it's either 10-50, 11-1, and 11-50, or 11-1, 11-50, and 12-1 on the Clippers to win the title. So
okay,
I'm heavily invested, boys.
I do have one future in the East that would just be the Hawks to win the East right after the DeJounte Murray trade, and I grabbed them.
it's a good jumping off point because this is the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. As I put, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. So 6 games since Clint Capela's come back. They're again a team that's kind of like, you know, not one of these teams. And this is kind of, I don't know if you can sense a theme with what I want to talk about today. You know, they're kind of the team that's been held back by injury a little bit. But since the health has improved of one Clint Capela, they've won 4 out of 6 games. The interesting part is that their defense has stunk in these 6 games. You would think with Capela back, it'd be better, defensive rating of 122.5 with him on the floor since he's come back. Their offense has been great. They're 2.5 games behind the Heat in the division. So we still got hope here, and they did beat the Heat, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. when they met up. So I don't even think I want to believe in this Hawks team in terms of winning the finals or Eastern Conference. But I wanted to bring this up more from our perspective as two people who have odds on them to win the Southeast. Do you think that this was a team that was largely held back by health and that it's worth riding going forward? Or do you think that they will be lucky if they even get within like three games and stay there against Miami?
This is so tough. I love that you put this on here because this is so tough for me to answer because I have been, you know, like 2 years ago, I was all over this Atlanta team, right? And like won some great futures on win totals and stuff like that with this team. I mean, look, they are the most talented team in that division. And I don't even think it's all that close. They are a more talented team than the Miami Heat and don't really have any business losing this division. That's how I think of it. That's how I thought of it preseason when we bet these division futures. Or I don't know if you bet yours preseason, but I did. That's how I felt before the season when I bet them at +170 to win the Southeast. They're the best team, but I just don't know what's going on with this team still. Yes, there's been injury factors. You're looking pretty dang healthy now, but we had all these problems. What happened from the problems at the beginning of the year with Trey and Nate McMillan getting into it? And nothing happened with that. What we're trying to trade John Collins for like the, you know, seventh consecutive season. Like, are Nate we ever?
Remember Nate McMillan almost retired. There was a report from Shams Charania that he was considering just quitting in the middle of the year.
Exactly. So like, it's those kind of things where like, despite having said everything I just said, where I think they're the most talented team in the division, I don't know if I can, like, if I'm talking about what their odds are right now, and I'm like, look at +220 right now to win the Southeast. Like, I want to go and grab that number because even add on to what I have, because I think they're the best team in that division, but I just think I can't trust them. I mean, this was part of the reason, you know, why I added those magic bets like a month ago is because I can't really trust this Atlanta team or this Miami team.
Yep. Yeah. And I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time, but I want to get your thoughts because I thought it's an interesting thing going forward. And I'm distracted because I wanted to hit while we're
They're one of the most fascinating teams in the NBA right now, right? Yes. Like I put them up there. Like of teams that I don't really know how good they are and how far they could go. It's teams like them. The Sacramento Kings, right? Like these are the types of teams where I'm like, I don't really know, you know what I mean? How good they could possibly be. I'd maybe include the Thunder in there too, but you can't, like, I can see the Thunder making the playoffs, right? But I feel like they're not getting past round one, right? Like they're getting bounced there. Like the Kings, the Hawks, like they could make a little bit more noise, I think, than people expect. So like, I don't know. They're in that camp of, I have no idea what these teams are right now.
A little bit of breaking news here. I don't know how much you're watching right now. Luka Doncic just hurt his ankle in the first quarter and is not going to come back in this game against the Phoenix Suns. So of course the Mavericks went on a 15-4 run after that.
Of course, obviously, right?
Because basketball, because just that's how things work. So we'll keep an eye on that. But that's a development, if you will, for the Suns.
If he misses any significant time, bye-bye, Mavericks.
Bye-bye Mavericks, bye-bye MVP candidacy, all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's going to be – I'm going to get sidetracked. I love – ESPN had a great graphic up the other day, and I love how we get wrapped up in these things. Do you know that Kevin Durant has only missed two more games than Nikola Jokic this season?
No, but I love hearing it.
Right. But, like we all think Kevin Durant's, like, dead in this MVP conversation. Sure. Jokic's running away with it, and it's all because of missed time. He's only missed like two or three games more than Jokic has.
I am so glad you. Wow, I don't know why that seems so weird to me.
It shook me.
When did Jokic miss serious stints of time?
I want to double check this as we're talking about it because
you're talking about Kevin Durant being out. What has he been out, a week and a half now or something like that? And then
39.
And then he missed a little bit of time earlier in the season too.
I mean, Jokic has missed, like, I know he just was on a stretch where he missed, like, three straight games.
Right.
Look at this, Kelly. Kevin Durant has played in 39 games this season. Jokic has played in 42.
Okay, that's stupid. That's stupid, and,
we consider Kevin Durant done.
Yeah, I don't know how you possibly could. Like, I have a 30-1 on him. From, I think if I remember this correctly, I think it was when he first missed some time with injury. And that price dropped. I was able to scoop up a 30-1 on Durant. But what did I see him like at? I mean, it's off the board right now at DraftKings, but I think I saw him upwards of like what, 40 or 50-1 now. Yep. I don't know why that wouldn't be a bet and a bet to add.
So I said that Jokic has played in 42. Curry's played in 33.
Yeah.
Steph Curry.
So to bring this full circle, we won't speculate on Doncic, even though I don't think you or I really think I don't want to put it this way. I don't think he's as serious a contender as the odds say, I guess is what I'll say, is the way I'll put it. When you came on a numbers game the other day, I think you said it really well of why would Jason Tatum be out of this running? You know what I mean? He's still right on the team with the best record in the NBA. It's not like his stats have massively dropped from what they were at the beginning of the year. You know what I mean? Like, so I think you bring up a great point. If I had to make one bet in that market right now, it would be Jason Tatum.
Yep.
But at the same time, man, like, I understand what you're saying. And that's a great point. Like, the games played, that is an amazingly great point. I think I have two basic statements though in this market, and then even in the most improved, it was the other one I wanted to bring up. The thing is, if Jokic finishes with the most assists in the NBA, like, the award's going to him. I don't care how many games he plays in.
I think he should be the favorite. My whole point is like, the odds have so dramatically shifted here for some of these guys.
Like, we're like 140 on him.
Right. And like, for a guy like Kevin Durant to be just like shot right down to like 50-1, when in reality, and why was he shot down? It's not because of his own production. It's because he got injured.
Yeah.
But he's only three games behind the guy who's at -1, whatever.
I'll be adding more Durant.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's my whole point. Is just we decreased his odds of winning this award because he missed time. But when you compare his resume with that of the guy who's up there because he hasn't missed time, there's only a 4-game difference. Like, that's my whole point. 3-game difference. So
I'm so glad you brought this up, because it is at least adding a little bit of Durant right now.
And let's just throw this out there. Jokic sat the other night. He's been having calf issues.
Yeah.
But he has been dealing with a calf injury for a while now. You don't want to wish injury on anybody. That is not this whole point. What I'm just saying is, Jokic has been an Iron Man, right? Well, he's been great. But he has played a lot of games and a lot of minutes, and this is his best team that he has been on. You don't think that rest is going to come a little bit more frequently for that guy as we kind of head down the stretch here? They've been doing it more already. I was sitting with somebody who's out in the Denver area who covers the Nuggets, and I'm like, he's like, no, I think he plays. And I'm like, bro, we'll have to have Chad on. I'm like, Chad, there's no way he plays tonight. Like, there's no way. And sure enough, what happened? They didn't play him. Like, they're resting him way more.
Oh, I talked to, we had Drew Dinsick on the show that morning too, and he was on Denver thinking the same thing. He really didn't think there was any chance that Jokic set. So you're right. Maybe there's something more there. I mean, and I guess the other, I just gave the positive spin on Tatum, but as long as we're talking injuries, I mean, this guy is the guy who has admitted that this wrist is bothering him, and he might have to need to have offseason surgery on it too.
He's already said he's going to. Yeah.
Okay. Or he's going to. Or he's going to. So okay. Well, like you said, as we're doing this, we're doing this podcast as Luka Doncic just left. But you could come up with injury concerns for what, the top three guys on the odds board in the MVP market right now. Meanwhile, you just laid out a great case for why it's at least worth a bet at long odds on Kevin Durant, in my opinion, at least.
By the way, this will be a video clip, so I'm just going to warn you right now. You look great. You look great. No, you got to promote these things.
It just surprised me last week. I was like, oh, okay. And, I didn't know JVT was going to go this far at the end of it. Good for him.
It was a new thing, but I thought it went well.
It looked good. Yeah, it worked well.
My high school level video editing, it was absolutely tremendous.
Looked beautiful, man. The only one I was going to bring up real quick with most improved, it's the same thing as, like, I broke this down big time on a numbers game today. Like, I love Lowry Markkanen. I love the improvement that he's made. It's massive. You're talking 10 points per game difference from what he did a year ago, 3 more rebounds, shooting 43% from 3. I just think, man, SGA follows that formula of most improved to a T. And we're talking about, as long as this guy is top 5 in scoring in the league, I don't believe for a second he's not winning this award. Over 30 points per game this guy's putting up. Like, and
I'll be devil's advocate. I'll be a negative.
Yeah, battle back.
And it's not even that. And you know what'll get you here. You're gonna get Tom Thibodeau'd, and what I mean by that is the year that Monty Williams had more first place votes than Thibodeau, but Thibodeau won Coach of the Year because. Yeah. He got a lot. He had a massive gap in like second place votes because it's New York. Jalen Brunson, you would get Tom Thibodeau. Jalen Brunson, that's the only way they would get you, is the allure of New York. And frankly, let's just say it. These writers who don't watch the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to look at Jalen Brunson and what he's doing with the Knicks and vote for him.
Let me just get this straight. You think it's more likely that Brunson wins it than either of the two of these guys, Morgan or SGA?
Yeah, I think so. No. What I'm saying is if someone were to upset SGA, I think it would be Brunson.
You think it's more likely Brunson than Morgan? Okay. I can buy into that. Yeah. I can buy into that. My big thing is like I have not fully understood this major odds shift from marketing and SGA, right? I'm like, yeah. I mean, like every other day, I feel like I'm adding plus money bets on SGA. I'm like, fine, you're going to hang like plus 140 on him. Like I found plus 140 2 days ago. I'm like, I'm going to bet that. So I'm going to keep betting that. As long as he is top five scoring in the league, come on, man. And the other thing is, you know, I was saying this today on Numbers Game, marketing, it's been incredible, but I think team success is also going to factor into this, right? And I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I believe that the Jazz are going to trade away pieces here in the next, before the break. Therefore, their team should get worse. Meanwhile, what are the Thunder really going to trade away? This team is a young team looking to get its feet under the ground that's just going to keep building on what they have there. So, like, I think there's a good chance the Thunder end up finishing with a much better record than the Jazz.
I will say, I think I brought this up to you. Shams had a report that the Jazz were looking to trade for John Collins.
I know.
That was so weird. I didn't really understand it. But the Clippers have been tied to Conley, so it looks like they're going to ship off Conley potentially. Which, by the way, if the Clippers got Conley, that would be an awesome deal. Like, he would fit so great with them.
I mean, it makes sense for them to ship him off. Jordan Clarkson should not be there. He should be on another team. Like, I mean, he's a great scorer off the bench on another, like, championship potential team. It's keep marketing and it's keep Walker Kessler, right? And build, I mean, that's the core you need to be focusing building around in Utah. And look, like what you pulled off with the Donovan Mitchell move and these guys like being as good as they have been, like marketing, the Jazz got a bright future, but it's just not this year, man. Finish selling off the pieces and go into the rebuild.
Get Victor Wembanyama, who can palm a basketball with his middle and ridiculous. I just wonder, I would wonder what I would do with hands that big on my body now. You know what I mean? Wembanyama hands, but on my current body, I think it would be a tremendous deal.
It feels like a struggle just to like drive or something. You're like, why is this wheel so small? Right. Someone asked me today, they're like, why wouldn't this guy just go play wide receiver in the NFL? He'd be the greatest thing ever. It's like, I can't really argue that, but I don't think he knows much football.
Well, it goes back to, I'm going to open a can of worms. So I'll save this. I'll leave you with this so we can talk about this next week.
Yeah.
So it goes to football. If you could have a position in football where, as you as a coach, your guy is guaranteed to do that. So like, for example, our thing was like, if you could have a guy on your roster, a running back on your roster, that every time you gave him the ball, he was guaranteed to get 1 yard, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Would you have a roster spot for that guy? Like,
that's a great hypothetical. I think you would have to. So here's the one I would push back on that. I would say no, because if it was my team, my quarterback would be able to sneak for a freaking yard every time I needed it, and otherwise that quarterback would be off team. So JVT, I'll push it one step further. If you told me it was a running back that could guarantee me 2 yards, I'm in. 2 yards, I'm in. I've got a roster spot for that guy.
All right, I know we usually do Friday stuff, but I'm Bogarting my bedroom, and my wife wants to go to bed early. So
I don't have anything for Friday either. Is it just me, or was tonight's card terrible, and tonight's card is terrible as well? I don't really think anything is all that exciting tomorrow night. How are there only, what is it, 4 games tomorrow night? There's 5 games on a Friday night. How is that possible?
As somebody who has to write about those games, I enjoy the short cards. So
yeah, you're not complaining. Yeah, there is literally, I didn't bet anything tonight. I don't think I'm betting anything tomorrow, except I might look at Jared Allen over on some player props, because I don't know if you watched.
Come here.
don't know if you watched the Hawks just go at the Thunder the other night. But by the way, they did with Capella.
We're hey, wrapping guys. Big time. Yeah, my family just came in, so I've got to run. This is my son. Say hi to Kelly.
Hey. Hey.
All right. That's great. So with that, we are all done here on Harvard Handicappers. Remember, like, rate, review, subscribe, and check out VSiN.com, the subscriber thing. And we will talk to you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.